connectivity. And then you get into the impacts of things like climate change, you know, fires in Colorado. You know, connectivity also, again, promotes resiliency in the context of impacts like climate change. And so, you know, if I can't convince you to just love the animals and want to help them get across the road or help mountain lions have a future, I'm sure you want to have a future for yourself. So, and then you know, if we lose wildlife species as well because we don't have connectivity, look at human health impacts. An interesting connection, East Coast, where I grew up, the eastern panther, which is a mountain lion, went extinct. You have an overpopulation of deer there. And some scientists kind of half jokingly are saying, bring back the mountain lion, because what do you also have there? Lyme disease. Not that we don't have it in California, but much greater incidences back there. So healthy ecosystems, healthy wildlife, directly connected to our own health.
Hey, listeners, to check out the extended recording of this show or to explore our other shows, visit our website, EcoJustice Radio, and subscribe to our podcast. This has been EcoJustice Radio and our show on mountain lions, how to embrace our wild predatory relatives. Thank you to our listeners for joining us. Please connect with us on social media at EcoJustice Radio, SoCal350, and Wilder Utopia. If you like what you heard and you want others to be informed, subscribe and share the episodes. You have been listening to EcoJustice Radio, a project of SoCal 350, executive producer and host myself, Jack Eit, co-host Jessica Aldridge, co-host Carrie Kim, and engineer and original music by Blake Quake Beats.
You're listening to KBOO Portland Community Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to
Michael Van Cleek here, Vice President of the KBOO Board of Directors. KBOO's board is recruiting directors. KBOO's nominating committee is holding virtual information sessions from now through June. All KBOO community members are eligible for board election. Black, Indigenous, and people of color are especially encouraged to apply. Come join us. KBOO's Board of Directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of our members. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/boardrecruiting. One word. Thank you for considering board service for KBOO Community Radio.
Show me your moves, baby, what it's doing.
Talking about the environment and climate change really hits home with many people. Tune into KBOO on April 22nd at 6 p.m. for Four Walls for Us All. Join us in an exploration of safe, affordable housing, policy, and the passion to go beyond typical solutions to climate change. Learn how to feel more connected and empowered to protect Mother Earth and our fellow human beings in a way that's accessible to everyone. You won't want to miss it. That's Four Walls for Us All on April 22nd at 6 p.m. only on KBOO.
Hi, you're listening to KBOO 90.7 FM Portland, and this is Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph.
I am Tyson.
Join us every other Thursday at 10 a.m. as we discuss exciting destinations around the world. They're not always from personal experience, but never without cultural awareness and a passion for travel.
A lone traveler wandered Marrakesh's Medina, getting lost in its ancient labyrinth. As sunset prayers echoed, the traveler's wandering led him to a rooftop, where the Atlas Mountains shimmered golden, and the call to prayer became a serenade to the stars.
Welcome to Life Stamps, stories from here and there. I'm Joseph, and I'm with my co-host Tyson. Hello, Tyson.
Hey, Joseph. How you doing? And Harvey, sounds like he was talking about some kind of lost traveler in Marrakech or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
sounds like maybe we're talking about Morocco today.
We are, and we got a special guest. It's my good friend Avon Garfield. Hello.
Hello, everybody. First of all, thank you very much for inviting me to be on here.
And yeah, thank you for joining our wonderful labyrinth itself here in Portland, it's called the KBOO Radio Studio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess I'm here to be interviewed about Morocco.
Yeah.
I have a lot of interesting stories about Morocco. I spent a lot of time down there when I was living in England, so whatever you guys have for me, I'm ready to answer.
What year are we talking about here?
It would have been around 2023.
Okay, only a couple years ago and stuff. And how much time did you spend in Morocco?
I spent quite a bit of time. So originally I went over there just on a weekend vacation to Agadir. I actually spent most of my time in Agadir. Mm-hmm. I ended up meeting a little lady friend, so I ended up going back multiple times, even staying upwards of 2 to 3 weeks at a time. So I was there quite a bit.
Significant amount of time.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, right on. Was that all kind of centered around Agadir, or what other areas did you travel to?
Yeah, it was mostly around Agadir. However, at one point we did go on a bit of a trek across basically the whole of Morocco. We went to from Agadir, we went up to Marrakesh, then Casablanca, and then Rabat, and then headed back down.
Nice.
That was a really long trip. It was all by train, and one thing that I remember about that is sitting on the train, it's like 110 degrees outside through the desert, just nothing around for hours. And
was there AC on the train?
No, there's no AC. So there's just, like, no baking. Yeah, there's no like in England. You'll usually be able to buy like snacks or whatnot on the train. They didn't have any of that. No water, no food. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just there. You got to bring everything with you.
Yeah.
How long were these train rides between cities?
Oh gosh. From in total, it was probably like 6 hours worth of just train rides. Yeah. But like I said, we did stop.
Yeah,
at the different.
So you broke it up. It wasn't like 6 hours, like in one leg. Okay.
So describe to me a typical Moroccan train station. Like, what kind of things do they have for you to buy so you're not just passing out on the train?
Right.
Well, at least in Agadir and Marrakesh, because, they're just a little bit bigger of cities. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it kind of looked like your standard train station. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's like a couple fast food restaurants, maybe a shop or two. Mm-hmm. However, the architecture is really great. I mean, if you just look up Morocco, you'll see like some of the staple architecture, like the bulbous roofs and like the different brick inlay walls and stuff like that.
Yeah, tile mosaics, I'm sure.
Yeah. Just Oh, and another thing about the architecture as well. This is kind of like a big thing about Morocco. They color base every city. If that makes sense. So, like, all the buildings will be one color.
Like a certain theme? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like, Agadir is blue, and it's by the ocean. Marrakesh, all the buildings are brown. Mm. Casablanca is white. And then Rabat is also kind of mostly white because it's the capital. Everything's, like, super clean and posh, just, like, white and gold and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, everything's color themed, so that's really interesting to go somewhere like an entire city and every building is like the same color.
It definitely gives it like a strong identity. I feel like, you know,
yeah, exactly.
It's like you associate that city with like, you know, the buildings.
So did you go to the famous Blue City then?
The famous Blue City?
Yeah, there's a famous blue village, Moroccan village city. You know, you see tons of Instagram posts about it.
You just said, like, Agadir
it
is blue.
Yeah.
Agadir.
Is it in Agadir?
It's not Agadir. It's a different. I want to say it's, like, begins with a C or something. It's, like, Shouf Ara or something. I don't remember.
So it's, like, a smaller city, you're saying?
Smaller one, yeah. Okay. I mean, Agadir might be very picturesque for all the blue buildings and houses and stuff as well. But, no, the one I'm thinking of is more people go there because the nature is really good. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, somewhere in the center of the country. But
okay.
And the name's skipping me, so.
Yeah, I haven't been there. But, yeah, it did just remind me of Agadir because the general theme there is blue. But I'll have to look up that place. I haven't actually heard of it.
Let's like bring it back to Agadir. Like, what are some highlights that you would recommend people to do there?
So my style of travel is a little bit different than I think some people's are. I kind of just go places to hang out and enjoy myself. I don't really look into like the history or like the tourism destinations as much. So the first time I went to Agadir, I literally just stayed at an all-inclusive resort and just pretty much hung out by the beach all day and, you know, talked to locals, go shopping a little bit, like just kind of enjoy myself.
Yeah.
Because at the time, I was in the military. So it's like I would have a long week of work, and then on the weekends, because from England it's so easy to travel, I would just go somewhere that I felt I could just like kind of relax a bit, you know.
I see.
It was kind of like that. It wasn't really like this big trip. Yeah, it was always spontaneous. I never had anything like planned out, and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go to this historical site, and then I'm gonna go see this church, and then I'm gonna go to this tourism destination. It was just kind of like, where can I go hang out and enjoy myself for the weekend? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
there's also a way to just like kind of like let loose for a couple days before you had to go back to your work week.
Yeah.
What a great way to spend a weekend, right?
Yeah. Right.
What can you say about Moroccan seafood then? Like being Moroccan on the seafood. Moroccan coast.
You know, I don't even think that I've eaten Moroccan like any seafood in Morocco. I did have some local dishes like. The really popular thing there is their tea, like the Moroccan tea. It's like kind of a minty, super sweet tea.
Okay.
I mean, you'll just be at a restaurant and they'll pour it out. Or if you're at the beach, they'll be like, there's people that walk along the beach and sell you the tea or sell you water or whatnot. You can get it literally anywhere. I mean, the girl that I was with at the time, they would always make me tea anytime I came over. And then also, another food I remember eating is tagine. It's like the super...
I was going to ask you about tagine,
Yeah, tagine. Yeah, I had that once. It was really good.
What was in it? You had?
When I had it, it was the chicken. So I think they make it in other meats, but because it's just like the general flavor complexion. But yeah, I had it as chicken, but it was super good. It was super tender and buttery. Oh, I also ate rabbit there.
Okay.
Yeah, that was really good. Rabbit.
Did you have rabbit in Rabat?
No, I had it in Agadir, actually. They served it at the resort that I was at.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't notice.
That's okay. That's okay.
Nope. We're full of stupid jokes. So.
Yeah. It's all right.
But I would highly recommend rabbit. I know it's not a very common food where we're at here, but it tastes... Like, I know everybody always says, oh, it tastes like chicken. It tasted just like chicken, but it was more interesting. It was more tender. It was, very
good. How did you have it? Did you have it, like, in a stew, or, like, how was it prepared?
No, it was just grilled rabbit, and then I had it with couscous. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Is the couscous different in Morocco, or is it just kind of the way comes out of the box?
I have no idea. I haven't eaten couscous other than that time.
Okay. Oh, you've never eaten it here in the States?
No, I have not.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
That's cool. So Agadir, and you visited some other cities. What are like? Other than Agadir, like what are some of the favorite places that you've been to?
Yeah. So, well, Agadir is probably my favorite just because it's by the beach, right by the beach. I like going to the beach.
It's got that more Mediterranean vibe, I guess.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's easily walkable. I mean, there's restaurants all down the beach, and then there's like there's a mountain at the end of the beach, and it has Arabic writing engraved in the side of the mountain and it lights up at night, and I think it says God, country, and then like love or something like that. I can't remember exactly, but Marrakesh was a very interesting place for me. Not necessarily in a good way.
Can I go back to that? Can I go back to that mountain real quick?
Oh yeah.
Can you hike it? Can you go up there?
Oh, and
see the skyline and stuff from the beach.
Yeah.
And everything?
The taxi that I got, the guy driving the taxi. Everybody there, and even in most countries in Europe, every like business is kind of interconnected in some way. Like you'll get into a taxi and they'll be like, oh, if you want to go do this cool thing, I know a guy. If you want to go to this restaurant, oh, I know a guy.
Yeah, right,
so
right.
Our taxi driver, he was super cool. He was giving us recommendations and everything. He actually took us to the top of the mountain before we went and checked into our hotel because we saw it and we were like, whoa, what is that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, that's the whatever it's called. I can't remember the name of it now. But he drove us up there to the top, and yeah, you can look down. I don't know if you can like necessarily hike it, like walk up it, but there's a road that goes up to the top.
Okay.
Okay. Hang out. Nice. Yeah. So it's like a nice viewpoint.
Yeah.
See the city and everything.
Yeah, you could probably hike it. I don't know. I just wasn't doing that at the time. Yeah.
Right. Right. And you see all the cruise ships and stuff in the water. Yeah. And stuff.
Yeah. And you can jet ski in the water.
Oh, cool. Did you do that?
Yeah. Now that we're speaking about the water of Agadir, they have these ginormous jellyfish in the ocean there.
Oh, like, man.
Huge. I didn't even know what they were at first. They're like this big around, like a size of bigger than like your torso.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's describing like, the size of a pizza to our listeners, by the way. So
okay. This pretty is much. Not, yeah.
Yeah. This is not pizza. A small jellyfish.
Are these like, do you know like the Portuguese man of war?
It's I've
like
heard
a,
of it.
A
yeah.
massive jelly. They had like their tentacles are like 40 feet long or something.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
I don't know. I couldn't see. So here's like how I saw them. I was jet skiing.
Uh-huh.
And then I just see this big bulbous white blob. And I'm like, so I'm like, what is that?
Yeah.
Because it's huge and it's just floating like at the surface of the ocean.
Yeah.
And I just kept seeing them everywhere. And then I realized like, because I ended up meeting some girls that were at the resort that worked there, and they like went out with me and my friend jet skiing, and they told me that they were jellyfish, and it freaked me out because when I was riding the jet ski, I was jumping them like on the waves because it's pretty choppy, the ocean there. So I was jumping on the jet ski over the waves, and then they told me that they were jellyfish, and it freaked me out because I thought like if I fell in that I was going to get stung by a jellyfish.
Yeah, didn't they like warn you about that or anything?
No, not
like they weren't like watch out for the jellyfish.
No. Yeah, nobody said anything until I went out there and
I guess if you're on a jet ski, it's like you're probably not going to fall in the water, but I mean you might, you know.
Yeah, I mean most people also weren't jumping the jet skis like doing tricks on them or anything, so they probably didn't worry about it at the time.
Yeah for sure.
All that's right, well let's talk about Marrakech and how much you loved it.
Marrakech,
complicated relationship.
So yeah, here's kind of like what I was thinking about how to describe it. So Agadir in American terms kind of is like Miami. It's like beach, it's a little bit posh, you know. But Marrakech would almost be like LA. Like it's a little bit more chaotic, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So literally like we get off the train and there's a huge city center there with like the big market and everything. And so like the second I walk into the market, some dude like comes up behind me and puts a monkey on me. Okay. And it like it freaked me out.
Yeah.
Cause
is that a ploy to like make you buy the animal?
No, to make you take a picture and then pay for the picture.
And you have to pay for the picture.
Oh, okay. But it is a tourist turkey scam thing.
But the thing is like
America.
Yeah, the thing is like I don't know. I don't really necessarily trust monkeys or like want them on me.
Right.
So like for him to just come up to me out of nowhere, it wasn't like he like weighed me down and was like, "Hey, do you want to hold the monkey?"
Right.
No, he just like came up to me and out of nowhere and put the monkey on me.
Yeah.
And it was like, it had chains on it so like it wouldn't run away from the guy, like the owner, because that's his source of income.
Yeah.
But like, it was like trying to scratch my arm and whatnot. And I'm like, dude, I don't want this monkey on me.
Yeah, like just random animal.
Yeah. Yeah. But like, then I kind of like got used to it because like I said, it just shocked me at first because I've never had a monkey on me before, and some random dude just put a monkey on me.
Yeah, there is that like learning curve when you go to a country and things like that happen. You have to like understand how to deal with it, and it's like, you know, like
So after I kind of like processed the fact that I was holding a monkey, I was like, okay, this guy just wants me to pay for a picture or whatever. I'll take a picture.
Totally.
My girlfriend got a picture holding it as well.
Are they expensive, these photos? The monkey photos?
Oh yeah. So this was the other thing. I can't remember. Dirhams is what money they use. Mm-hmm. I gave him like $10 worth, whatever that is in dirhams. I think it might be like a couple hundred dirhams. Uh-huh. But yeah, and then so I gave him the money because I was just like so over this situation. I was like, just
yeah,
you know, like yeah, leave me alone.
Right.
And but then he was pressing me for more money.
Oh.
And my, like I said, I was with my girlfriend at the time. She's Moroccan.
Yeah.
So she was like speaking to him like, dude, like leave us alone. Like,
right.
We didn't even want this and we still gave you money. Like, this is enough.
Yeah.
Leave us alone. And like eventually he kind of just, we just walked away and he went off and did his own thing. But
yeah.
So it was like right off the bat, it was like a bad experience. So uh-huh. I already kind of had like that, that bias.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is going to be a chaotic little adventure here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of, I think it's like becoming an environmental topic right now, like these macacas and stuff in Morocco and, you know, like how they're treated, the actual monkeys themselves. Like, they dress them up in random costumes and have them perform little like circus shows on the sidewalk and mm-hmm. stuff and do these things and stuff, you know. So it's becoming kind of a global animal protection issue as
that they had like dressed up. The one that they had was dressed up as well. It was like they put it in like a little dress.
Oh man.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but other than like,
how many days were you in Marrakech?
Oh, it was just a few hours. Like we were just, we had a, like I said, we stopped at each city on the way up to Rabat.
Uh-huh.
So we just stopped there.
Oh, so was Rabat like the final destination?
Yeah, Rabat. Because Agadir is like kind of more south.
Yeah.
And then it goes, as you go north, it goes Marrakesh, Casablanca, Rabat.
So you were just in Marrakesh and Casablanca for a couple of hours?
Yeah. Okay. I actually don't even remember that much about Casablanca. I might have just like had my transfer there. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really did anything. But after the monkey, the other thing that really sketched me out, there's a bunch of street vendors there that just have rattlesnakes and king cobras out.
Oh, wow.
Like dozens of them out on the street. Like, no, we're not even on the street because this is a market.
Uh-huh.
So, like, where people are walking and they have them, it's so weird. Like, they have them coiled up just on their own. Like, they're not doing anything.
Uh-huh.
And the guys are sitting on the ground and they have just literally rattlesnakes and king cobras all around them, just coiled up. They're just sitting there not doing anything.
For the snake charming shows?
Are they like entertainers or something?
I don't know. There was multiple of them.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember seeing them actually do anything with them other than just having them like sit around them.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like dozens of them.
Yeah.
Like, it just looked like it was a blob of snakes. But wow. it was really weird.
That's
because
wild.
When you think of like a bunch of snakes together, you think of them squirming around and doing their, but all the snakes, they were just literally in a
coil.
They
were just chill. They're just
chilling.
Yeah.
And I think one of them like started to go away and he like grabbed it and flipped it around. So it went back.
I wonder if they're like tranquilized or something.
Maybe.
They have to have some kind of like sedative.
Yeah. But it was just really,
or they just really love hanging out.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's possible they're just kind of kicking them what they like or something, so they behave. But
right.
It just made me anxious because it was like, what's stopping a rattlesnake or a king cobra from just striking me as I'm literally walking through this market right past these...
Right, and it's not like they're probably going to, like, you know, be like, oh, sorry, that was never supposed to happen. Here's a good doctor. It's probably going to be like, oh, well, you're on your own. You got to figure it out on your own now.
Yeah, that like, was why it was so, like...
Good thing I have travel insurance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why it was so kind of sketchy to me.
Because so
I'm just like, what's... That's why it was sketchy, was because nothing's stopping a snake from biting me. And then these people who are there aren't going to assist me in any way if their snake... Like, literally, their poisonous, deadly snake bites me. So I'm just like, bro, this place is wild. And, then we saw some guy. He was pouring out water or doing some, like, ritual by his shop. Mm-hmm. And then my girlfriend was like, oh, that guy is, like, a bad person. I was like, what do you mean? He's just dumping out a water bottle. Like, people dump out their water bottles. What do you mean? He's like, no, he's not just dumping out a water bottle. He's performing black magic. Like, he was doing some ritual with the water.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know what it was exactly, but yeah, it was just a dark place. A lot of people do like it because, like I said, like, I was only there for a few hours, and so many different chaotic things happened already.
Yeah, it was just like chaos like from the beginning.
Yeah, a lot of people like it because if they're into like the more dangerous side of life, it can be very entertaining.
Well, I heard some of the best souks are actually in Marrakech, and some of the best medinas are actually in Marrakech and stuff. So maybe you just get away from like that Tark section of Marrakech.
But it's interesting because like I've heard
you were in the monkey snake corridor of Marrakech that probably didn't really float your boat.
it was literally just the city center market that I was at. So obviously, like I said, I was only there for a few hours. I can't necessarily say it's a good or a bad place. I'm just saying I had an interesting time.
Well, it's interesting.
Like, the short time I was there.
I've heard from other people that like people having mixed feelings about Marrakech. So like you're not the first person to be like, I don't know how I felt about it.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to hear.
I have a really kind of dumb American question about Morocco in general. Do they like coffee?
Do they like coffee? Oh, yeah, I would say so.
Because I've always thought maybe it was just like this mint tea that you talked about.
I mean, the tea is definitely more standard, but also at the same time, everywhere I did go, I was also being offered coffee. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they like coffee just as much, I would say.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
So from Marrakech, and you were in Casablanca for just a transfer, and then how many days were you in Rabat?
I was only in Rabat for about a day, but I didn't do much. I kind of just walked around. I had to do something in Rabat, something personal, but I just kind of walked around, saw the city. I didn't necessarily do anything interesting.
It wasn't as chaotic as Marrakech.
No. Yeah, so the thing about Rabat, I actually really liked Rabat because it was super calm.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm a really calm person. I don't necessarily invite chaos into my life.
Uh-huh.
That's why I didn't really like Marrakech that much.
Right.
But Rabat was kind of on the same tonality as Agadir, but it was just a little bit less touristy.
Was it also on the water?
It was not. So that was the other thing that wasn't necessarily as great as Agadir.
Was
the water. But everything's super clean. Like, it's the capital, you know. I can't remember if they have a president or whatnot, but whoever their political leaders are, they live in Rabat, so everything is super snazzy, kept clean, taken care of. A lot of money there, you know what I mean? So it was cool to see.
Interesting.
Is there good nature, like on the outskirts of Rabat?
I didn't go to the outskirts of Rabat, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anytime I went anywhere, it was mostly just in the city at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What else do you have to say about, what's unique about Morocco and what would drive you to come back there?
Well, that's the thing. I don't necessarily know if I would go back there anymore. It was really fun and entertaining for me at the time.
Right.
Just because I was young. I think I was like 21 or 20 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, all the girls there were like so stargazed by me. So it was just like, I felt like the king of the world, and I went there and like everybody's running up to me. Cause I mean, I'm a really tall, white, blondish guy, so they're running up
to me.
So
you look kind of like exotic.
Being out there, I do. So like people would run up to me, like try to talk to me. They try to get me to buy stuff, like all the vendors, the girls, checking me out. I could pretty much talk to any girl and be like, hey, you want to go out? And they'd be like, yeah. So that was fun as a young man, to do stuff like that. But like I said, now it doesn't really entertain me anymore, that kind of stuff. So
you're like, I was young, exactly. I had fun, but then it's like, I get that. If you're just tuning in right now, this is 90.7 KBOO, 90.7 FM KBOO Portland, and you're listening to Life Stamp Stories from Here and There. Today we're talking about Morocco. We have a special guest named Avon today, and he is just talking about his experience there and the different cities that he went to. So I guess I have a few like just technical questions, like in terms of, so you were 21. So how many years ago was you? That was 2023, you'd say?
Yeah, well, I just turned 24 now. So
About 3 years ago?
Yeah, it would have been 2 to 3 years ago.
So I'm sure like the money situation is fairly similar. Like what would you say is a realistic budget, like in terms of like, you know, how much did it cost to eat out or like stay at a hotel?
Okay. Yeah. Not terrible, I will say. Like I said, I was in an all-inclusive resort that was on the beach. And I think it costed me like a couple hundred pounds, because like I said, I was in England.
Right.
I was living in England. Mm-hmm. It cost me a couple hundred pounds for like 4 days
okay.
of staying in an all-inclusive place.
Oh, so okay. probably so, less yeah. than like 50 pounds a night yeah. for all-inclusive.
And that's like a pretty
high. No, I would say closer to like 75 to 100. I think it was like 300 to 400 pounds total, mm-hmm. if I'm remembering correctly. Okay. But I mean, that's, you know...
That's for all inclusive.
Like, yeah, all, included, like food, yeah, all food, mm-hmm. 3 meals a day, buffet style, you know, open yeah. bar, 2 pools, indoor bar, indoor restaurant, outdoor restaurant,
mm-hmm.
hot tubs,
yeah,
ballroom, mm-hmm. you know, with live music, like a live pianist,
yeah.
just super nice place.
Yeah,
you know,
so I could imagine like more like local hotels would be quite cheap.
Yeah,
in comparison. Yeah,
yeah, most likely. Also, interesting side note here, so like I said, I was on the beachfront, and there's like multiple resorts as mm-hmm. well, like I said, lined up.
Right.
So apparently at the time that I was there the first time, some giant soccer team was staying in the hotel next to ours.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember. It was like some huge soccer team because they were playing against Morocco.
Mm-hmm.
And
European soccer
yeah,
league?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like whatever the major soccer league.
Man EU, maybe?
No. No, it was somewhere, Bayern, somewhere
yeah.
else.
Yeah.
I can't think of it now because it was so long ago.
Yeah. We could spend all day trying to guess it.
Bonfica.
Real Madrid.
Yeah, it was. Right. It was something like that, like a major soccer team where you'd uh-huh. be like, what? No way.
Yeah.
You know, I just can't remember which one it was because yeah. I don't follow that sport, to be quite honest. But
uh-huh.
that was that's interesting.
Cool. Yeah.
Coincidence.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
cool.
Food.
So did you eat out like
at, yeah.
like outside of the resort?
Yeah,
very
I did.
Often?
Yeah, I ate out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Just like normal price, I guess. It's a little bit cheaper than, you know, if you were eating out here.
So, like, maybe, like, $10 for a meal?
Yeah, it just depends where you go, really. Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to the local kebab shop, you know, you can get a full meal for less than $10 total. But mm-hmm. if you go to a nice restaurant, you can still look to spend upwards of, like, $100 for, like, 2 people.
Okay. So, it can be expensive
yeah,
if
yeah,
you're looking
for
that. But you
yeah.
can also, like, eat pretty cheaply.
Yeah, because... I mean, Morocco is a fairly poor country, like, in mm-hmm. general, but at the same time, it's kind of not. Like, they kind of can cater to any
yeah.
type of person. Like, they still have really nice stuff there,
mm-hmm.
really nice places.
Back to the trains. So what's that infrastructure like? Is it mostly just kind of inner city connected? It's not going to get you into, like, the far
yeah.
outskirts of the country, I imagine,
yeah,
right?
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the only time I actually rode on the train there. Was just because it was so far away, but I don't remember seeing very many like buses or trains.
Mm.
There could be. I just wasn't utilizing them. I
yeah.
kind of just stayed in the same area, local
right.
area for the most part.
Right.
What about for like taxi fare? Like,
oh, yeah.
how much was the taxi usually?
Yeah, taxi. I think I remember paying about $30 going from the airport to the city center.
Mm-hmm.
Agadir.
So you could have a pretty nice vacation there.
Oh,
for
yeah.
like relatively
oh, yeah,
low
sure.
prices.
Yeah, for sure. Especially mm-hmm. if you go with somebody else. Like
mm-hmm.
I was with one of my good friends at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I went there, at least, and you know, £400 for a 4-day weekend at an all-inclusive resort split 2 ways is, you know, £200, mm-hmm. which is fairly inexpensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend having like a travel buddy,
mm-hmm.
just cause, especially when you're young, you know, and
yeah.
single. Like,
oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah, because it'll cut your cost obviously in half.
For sure.
So, you can do a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, like I said, we were jet skiing, going on adventures, you know.
It's also nice to have like that person to do something with.
Yeah, yeah, true.
I've definitely traveled solo, and there are times when I felt like insanely lonely.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't, you know, I'd have friends for like, you know, maybe a day, I'd meet people, but then I'd go somewhere else, and I'm like, all right, I'm alone again.
So, yeah,
yeah,
it's nice to have someone to have that experience with, for sure.
Yeah, especially I'm somewhat of an introvert, I would say. I don't really go out of my way to talk to random people most of the time, so whenever I travel alone, I don't really meet that many people. So having a friend that you already know with you is much more enjoyable.
Totally. Aside from tagine, were there any other like dishes that you had that stuck out?
Not that it comes to the top of my head. It was mostly just the rabbit.
Oh, right, the rabbit.
The tagine and like the tea.
Those,
other than that, most of the food I ate was pretty normal, because I mostly just eat like fruit and meat.
So, were there any like interesting fruits that you tried?
No, actually, no, there wasn't. I don't know if they have any like local fruits that you can't get anywhere else, but no, just basic fruit, grapes, olives.
I could see grapes being a bit
bananas. More
olives, yeah.
Yeah.
What about like is there like a local like variety of alcohol? Or is drinking like a big thing in Morocco since it's a Muslim country?
No, it's not a very big thing. Like I said, they did have a what do you call it? Bottomless bar or like whatever. I don't know.
What the word is. They got something for
Europeans. An all-inclusive bar.
At the resort, but that's because it's open full bar. Of tourists.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right. But it's only places like that where like it's probably not frowned upon.
If you go out to a nice restaurant, you can get drinks.
Yeah.
But like, no, I never went to like a bar, like a specifically just a bar.
Right.
I never went to like a liquor store. I also just don't really drink alcohol that much. Like, so like I said, if I was at like a nice restaurant and I ordered like a cocktail
or two,
about the extent of the my alcohol experience.
Do you partake in the shisha?
Oh, yes. I love. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yeah, shisha. I love that shisha. Yeah, they have a lot of shisha. You can go to like different clubs, and you can order shisha. I remember in Agadir, I went out to, I guess you could call it a club. It was just like, it was a nightclub like vibe, but instead of everybody being up and dancing, they just had like couches set up.
Okay.
And then it was a shisha bar.
So, okay.
Yeah, they just had loud music, a DJ.
In Agadir, this one was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So it's like loud music, DJ, all the crazy lights and everything. But it wasn't like you were up dancing, you were just
smoking
shisha.
Interesting.
So we're kind of halfway through the show now where we can do trivia and comments. So do you want to stick around and help us answer some Moroccan trivia?
Sure.
For the listeners and stuff? All right.
Yeah, even if I can't give that much insight, I'll at least stick around.
I can tell you that I never get these questions right, so, you know, don't feel bad.
They're not that hard. Joseph just doesn't listen.
That's what you always say.
Joseph just doesn't listen.
All right. Well, let's have Harvey introduce the trivia section.
Harvey, trivia.
Okay, now let's move on to trivia and comments. Trivia time. Trivia time, hip hip hooray. Listener comments as well, handled the life stamps way. Today and every day.
Alright, thanks for that intro, Harvey. So Tyson, you got some trivia for us?
Yeah, maybe? I guess we got a little bit of Moroccan trivia here, you know, and something tells me Avon's gonna score more points than you.
It could go both ways, really. Like I said, I'm not too
no faith
in depth into the history of Morocco. I just went there to hang out.
And Tyson has no faith in me.
Well, I've seen the way you cheat. You don't get to use your laptop today, and you don't get to like ask me for hints.
Because
this time you have a legitimate competitor, so like, you know, I'm making sure the competition stays legit.
How are we doing this? Like, whoever answers first gets the point, or what?
Sure. Well, we'll do a Jeopardy style.
Okay.
So
do it to buzz in.
Yeah. So make a little noise when you're ready to answer the question. And the both of you, what are the three main languages spoken in Morocco?
Yeah. That's going to be French, Arabic, and Moroccan.
Or is what is Moroccan?
It's actually a mix of French and Arabic. So a Moroccan person can speak French and Arabic, but an Arabic or French person can't speak Moroccan unless they know Moroccan.
Okay, as the official judge here, I'm giving you 2 out of 3.
What do you have on your list there?
Well, I'm waiting for Joe, see if he can match you. He's got 2 of them right.
French and Arabic.
Okay.
Third language? I don't know. Spanish.
Nope. Okay. So you're both 2 out of 3 on that. I have the actual Berber, the indigenous Berber language, which is also pronounced Amazi.
Is that just the local name for Moroccan? Yeah.
I don't think it's called Moroccan. I think it's called Bourbon or Berber.
I know, but you might be talking about the same
thing. Yeah.
It could be.
In English, it was described to me as just Moroccan.
So, yeah, but you said that's a mix of French and Arabic. And this is actually the language that was spoken before before the French colonization or the Arabic raiding.
But that's still more common than just Moroccan, because everybody there speaks Moroccan, if they're Moroccan.
Sure, but that's Arabic and French, like you said. This is the indigenous language.
But like I also said, it's its own language on its own.
Oh, well, I know, but I think I'm giving you 2 points.
All right.
Hey, I think we're saying the same thing.
Let's move on to the next question.
Okay.
Yeah.
What day of the week do most businesses close?
Saturday?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know then.
Friday.
You got it.
Oh, okay, cool.
Do you just guess?
I figured it was kind of a trick question. Probably wasn't going to be Sunday.
It says Fridays are holy Muslim days.
Okay.
Is what I got. So, yeah. So, what is that? 3-2. Okay. What is one tech device that is...
I want to relinquish one of my points because I only said French because Avon said French.
Sure, okay.
So I feel like I was piggybacking on that's
so noble of you.
I would just want to be a good sport.
So 2-2.
So you can thank Joseph for that. You know, he's keeping it equal here.
I guess so.
Yeah. What is one tech device that is illegal in Morocco?
A drone.
He beat you to it. I'm sorry.
Oh, is it a drone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember seeing no drone signs.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Especially like on the highways, I think.
So this is objective. So if you're kind of in the right ballpark, I'll give you the question right. Not too hard of a thing. What are some of the best things to buy in the souks or the markets?
The traditional Moroccan clothing.
Rugs.
Yeah, rugs too.
Okay, you're all close. I was more looking at food.
Fabrics. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I was more looking at food for everything I wrote down. But,
tagine.
Probably they have some tagine.
Oh, the food in the markets is really cool, actually.
Kebabs.
They have they'll have like barrels of spices, giant mounds of
saffron,
biscuits, cookies.
Yeah. Because I got spices, honey, local honey.
Oh, okay.
So I think they may even have some like beekeepers and stuff selling honey in these places. The mint.
The Moroccan biscuits are great as well.
Mm. Couscous. And then I've also you said the fruit wasn't much different than what we have here, but apparently they're well known for their Moroccan preserves.
Okay.
And jams and stuff as well.
Do you put that on bread?
I presume. Yeah, yeah.
They probably put it on
on the biscuits?
Yeah.
What are the biscuits scones? Like?
Well, when I say biscuits, I mean like cookies. So yeah, they would just have I remember they had these like giant wooden, they weren't really crates because they were only a couple inches deep, but just full of cookies and you could scoop them up and put them in a bag.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. They just have them all laid out.
What was like the flavor usually?
They were kind of just like shortbread cookies, different with different things. Some had fruit. Or like jam, I guess. Some had chocolate, some caramel, some were just plain.
Okay.
All different sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, that was, I remember just getting a bunch of cookies and just snacking on them.
Yeah,
right. Know,
throughout the day,
good
nice. With the tea.
Good yeah. for good for the desert train ride.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, what is the best practice in Morocco while buying things?
The best practice
to haggle.
Negotiation? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's no set prices.
He's 100% accurate. You're yeah. half right. Yeah, I'll give you both a point.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no structured okay. prices there.
Yeah. No, yeah, so yeah. So the best practice is be prepared to haggle.
Is the expectation to haggle? Like, did you find, like, if, like.
Yeah. Especially with, like, street vendors and whatnot, because yeah. they'll be like, oh, they'll give you some ridiculous price just because you're a white tourist.
Oh, okay.
And then you're like, bro, I'm not buying that. Like, come on now. So yeah. then you'd bring it down. They're like, okay, I do this price for you.
No. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nah.
So despite being a Muslim country, what does Morocco produce an entire lot of?
Weed.
Nope. I mean, that might be accurate because I know there's definitely weed tourism in uh-huh. in Morocco, you know, for the hashish and stuff. But that's not my answer to the question.
Does it produce a lot of alcohol?
You're half right. I want you to be more specific.
A hand sanitizer?
Why hand sanitizer?
It wouldn't be wine.
All right. Now I'm just offended. You definitely don't get a point.
I can't redeem myself now.
No. Okay. Seriously, hand sanitizer?
Okay.
No, I'm giving that one to Evan. Sorry. He was right.
Oh, it was wine.
Yeah, all the grapes. Yeah, all the grapes. So they're
what's the score right now anyway?
I think you won by a point. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, that was the tiebreaker?
I think that was the tiebreaker, yeah. So moving on to listener comments. Let me see what we got for this week's show. And here we go. We got an interesting question. The name is Mirko Wagner from Cologne, Germany.
Okay.
Hey, Joseph and Tyson. I notice you guys cover a lot of lesser-known destinations around the world. I'm looking for a lesser-known destination for 2 weeks of adventure travel.
So are we just supposed to tell a lesser-known destination?
Yeah, for adventure travel. What's a tip?
Adventure travel?
Yeah. Not so many tourists. Good adventure. Yeah, go ahead, Evan, if you have any suggestions to this question, because I'm...
this is a great
question. I'm picking my brain right now, so nothing's just... I can think.
Well, and especially, like, what are some of the other places that you've
been to? Right, yeah, like, exactly. This is why it's such a great question, is because I've been to so many... I mean, I've been to most of the hot spots, but I've also been to, like, these more random, lesser-known
like,
locations.
Like, would you just choose, like, the cheap flight to somewhere?
maybe, like, yeah, sometimes, like, spontaneously.
Yeah.
Ooh, I've got one, but I can't remember the name now.
I was going to say, those destinations are usually the best destinations because you never know what's going to happen or what you're going to come across, or like so it's like more of an adventure. Where if you go somewhere that's like a huge hotspot, you already kind of expect what's going to happen. Like if you go to Paris, you already know you're going to see the Eiffel Tower or whatever. You know what I mean? But
Usually adventure to me implies, like, you know, like nature travel as well, you know, because I mean, but yeah, city travel is very adventurous as well, you know, depending on how adventurous you make that city travel.
Yeah, I've just noticed more memorable occurrences have happened in places that I would never expect something to happen.
So what's one of the one of those places?
Yeah, so I think Morocco is generally, especially among Americans, is a pretty unknown, uncommon location. Also Madeira. Where else have I been? I've been to Crete in Greece, which is like a small island in Greece. Finland.
Nice.
Not a lot of Americans go to Finland.
I was gonna say
I think for a German, though, like all these European destinations are probably less known.
A little more well-known, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I met a girl from Croatia once.
I have an answer, though. I have an answer.
Okay.
Can I say, or do you want to talk about Croatia?
Well, no, actually, I want to talk about Kazakhstan.
Oh, okay. Oh, Kazakhstan. Yeah, that'd be... I was going to say in Mexico, a place I really liked was Jalapa.
Okay.
And there is a town near that that's like kind of up in the mountains. So Jalapa is like, if you go into Mexico City, it's about like a 3-hour bus ride east.
Okay.
And it's like a mid-sized city, maybe like 400,000 people or so. But then you can go to these little mountain towns, and there's one called Hico, which is like just small little town. And I really liked it because they have like a kind of a bigger like coffee scene. I think they grow coffee
That's really
in the
cool.
area. So yeah, so they have like a lot of like cafes and stuff. And I thought it was just like a nice town. And the I didn't do any nature stuff around there, but also it's like in the kind of like. I don't know if it's like jungle or woods or forest or something, but it's like, you know, in the mountains and stuff, so you can do a lot of like nature stuff around there as well.
I think Mirko likes a suggestion if he's listening.
I have one last note for this guy. It's kind of hard to just give a specific example of a country. It all just depends on what you like to do.
Yeah,
if you like to be outdoors, like you said, Tyson, you know, find a place that has great nature. If you like to travel around the city and just see what you run into, you know, find somewhere that has a big city. Mm-hmm. If you like clubbing in a small town, you know, something like Croatia would be really good. Just look at what interests you, and then just look up what kind of countries offer those, cater to that taste.
It's kind of
hard to give one specific
example. I think the question more implies, like, where can I go to do cool stuff without a lot of tourists, you know, because you can know from the European perspective, you know, you go to these like major tourist cities and the main squares are just filled with all the tourists and stuff. So where can you have a good adventure that's a bit off the grid that people just aren't talking about?
Totally. Yeah.
Every country has its own good sides to it. So I think everybody kind of knows what the hotspots are, so just break away from the hotspots and find a place that caters to your interests.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but where I was going to go, I mean, and it's been on my mind for a little bit because I'm fascinated with Nepal and the Himalayas, but it's just totally overridden by tourists, so I've heard. So, but now a lot of people are, I think it's Kazakhstan, the next Dastan country that borders into the Himalayas. Still,
I mean, it's west. It's more like Central Asia, right?
And it's like, is it Turkmenistan? And maybe it's one of the Dastan countries, but it's on the Himalayan border, and it's a way lesser known other than like Central Asia, other than known among Central Asians as a place to go and do some Himalayan mountain travel and stuff. And apparently the people are just incredibly friendly because a lot of people don't come there for that because they all go to Nepal.
Oh no, I think maybe so. You're interesting.
And she told me she went there and just had an amazing time. Like, everybody was, like, filled with homestays and all this kind of stuff. But
yeah. I'm curious, actually, what country that was.
I think it's Kazakh.
Yeah, because it's, like, those are all, like, kind of west of Tibet.
Right.
And so the Himalayas kind of run. I'm looking at a map right now. The Himalayas run along, like, southern Tibet up to like Pakistan.
Yeah,
so it could be like Pakistan or maybe Tajikistan.
Tajikistan. Yeah, maybe.
I think that looks like
Tajikistan. Yeah,
that seems to be like in the same area. That's really cool. I would never think to, like, you know, to go there.
Yeah, so. Near it was just a random story that that had been told to me, and so that was I remembered it.
Well, I think we have time for one more question.
Okay, I think I like this question better. It's pretty interesting, honestly. Her name's Nadia Miller from Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Tyson and Joseph. I'm an aspiring musician, as a lot of people in Nashville are. My question to you guys is this. I love different forms of music and want to learn how to play different world styles of guitar. Where would you suggest I go to take music workshops locally to learn how to play the local style?
I don't know.
Well,
I can't answer that question.
I'm pretty sure in Spain, for sure, in Andalusia, I think you can do like flamenco guitar lessons and stuff, know. That would be one suggestion I would have, you know, for a musician that's traveling and trying to learn local styles.
Yeah.
New Orleans, honestly, you can probably learn jazz in New Orleans as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have anything that comes to mind, but...
No.
That I don't have any specific examples, but it would be a very easily Googled question.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I mean, I think some of these things are sort of like... Like, I know in Latin America, for example, you have a lot of more, like, cultural preservational programs geared toward preservation and travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the main reasons why people end up in Cuba, for example, is mm-hmm. just for the cultural preservation. So the,
right.
they agree to do some kind of workshop within mm-hmm. Cuba to learn about Cuban culture, and mm-hmm. that helps with the cultural preservation.
And part of that might be like music as well.
So yeah, and music's definitely a huge part of that. You know, if you're talking about Cuban salsa,
yeah.
for example. So I would say any of the countries that are really emphasizing on preserving their local culture will mm-hmm. offer this. I remember we had talked about Bhutan a while back as mm-hmm. well, and then they had all this like music workshops and stuff there yeah. in that country for learning some of the traditional Bhutanese
yeah.
music as well.
I'm just thinking like guitar specifically, but there are like, you know, different types of stringed instruments that you pluck, you know, like
correct.
Guitar-like instruments around the world, so... You know, there could be also, you know, like, yeah, maybe Bhutan could be one. I know, like, China has, like, their own types of instruments that could be, you know, interesting to learn. So, yeah,
right.
I think it's really just about, like, what, like, is it guitar specifically, or is it, like, other, like, guitar-adjacent instruments, or, you know, different...
She
like,
being styles. A guitarist, I would assume, means that she's probably can play other string instruments, mm-hmm. you know, Nadia.
Yeah.
I think is probably, I would assume, can. I would say that, you know, obviously, I think as a musician, you're probably thinking of, like, how to get some other inspirations or whatever. So mm-hmm. I would go with that. If you're very, like, you know, if you already know blues and you already know rock, but you want to really learn... for example, like, you know, certain Latin techniques or Arabic guitar playing or whatever mm-hmm. kind of style that you're interested in, then hone into that part of the world
mm-hmm.
to look and see where those type of workshops would be offered to learning those specific styles
totally.
That you're chasing for.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Well, we are just about out of time. So I just want to say thank you, Avon, for coming on our show.
And, yeah, thank you so much for having me. Hopefully I can be here again, talk about a different country.
Yeah, of course. I'd
say you definitely can. You're pretty well traveled. You have a lot of destinations that right. you can, you know,
yeah, for sure.
recite on.
yeah.
This is a great time.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, yeah, thank you all. This has been, this is 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland, and this has been Life Stamps. Today we talked about Morocco. With our guest today, talking about his experiences traveling through Morocco and different cities. So if you did not catch the entire episode today, you can look us up on Spotify at Life Stamps, Stories from Here and There. And this episode will air on Sunday.
Oh, I don't even know the date.
After today.
Yeah, yeah. We're
pretty 23rd.
Yeah, yeah, by the time you guys get this, it's probably going to be the middle of April. mm-hmm. But happy spring, everyone.
Happy spring. All right. Signing off.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Life Stamps, stories from here and there on KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. Join us in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until next time, happy traveling.
Listeners, sponsored stations count on you, not Arbitron. So when you push their buttons, you get radio that turns you on.
Hi there, this is Ann Feeney, and you are listening to listener-supported community radio, KBOO FM in Portland.
We're listening to KBOO Portland.